Hey, this is Max from the Arkells, and you're listening to Underground Sports Philadelphia.
Let's try this one more time.
Ooh.
What's going on, everybody? We're hopefully for the final time live for this episode of Underground Sports Philadelphia, episode number 103. Kyle Bennett, Matt Castorina, Don Ponteri. The show presented by Main Auto LLC, Hoffman Farms and Greenhouses, Ducharme's Pro Foot, Security 21, Wainwright Bernhardt Funeral Home, and Paul J. Gillespie Incorporated. What's going on, guys?
Hey.
You know, same as
we want to do the whole talk about snow again since
that weather, am I right? It's really weather out there.
Well, I'd say by some sort of scientific equation, the Sixers are currently the best team in the NBA because they beat the Warriors the other night.
By the transitive property? Am I using that term correctly?
If the Warriors are the best team in the NBA
and we beat the best team in the NBA. Therefore,
and we are the best team in the NBA.
Although the Bucks have the best record, but that's because we beat the Warriors that they have the best record.
Yes.
So
it all makes sense.
The Bucks hold the head-to-head on us.
Really, what I'm saying is that everything you have on the Sixers winning a championship this year.
Bet everything you have.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bet the house. Bet the farm. Everything. That was a hell of a game, though, and they were able to pull it out. Did you guys catch the game?
Again, had to resort to the highlight machine because there was just no shot.
It was actually the first night I told myself, I'm going to go to bed a little bit earlier so I can wake up and get
I
stuff done.
I stayed up
tomorrow
and watched it as soon as I got home from Wings practice, and it was just a flat-out, easily the most fun game of the season to watch. Ben Simmons was on fire, arguably his best game of his career.
That's what I've heard.
Just about up there. I think from watching it, too, it was it's the kind of game you want from Ben, if you're being honest, against contenders. Look, I think the thing that about Ben that's so good is he's one of the most difficult matchups in the league, and for Golden State, I'd say especially so. I think we actually match up pretty decently with our stars up with Golden State. Obviously, they were missing Clay, but, I mean, then, you know, they only have, what, 4 All-Stars and all NBA players? So, not exactly. I don't exactly feel bad when Warriors fans were trotting that line out. But
no, that line is so stupid because they can win when one of those guys is not in the lineup. And they showed they can. Just because Clay is not in your lineup does not mean that you can't.
And this was also a Warriors team, by the way, that was having its best run of the season, was on a 10-game win streak. I thought we were going to get slapped up by them. I was actually pro Embiid getting a rest if his back wasn't feeling right. His back looked okay, I guess.
Yeah, nice little windmill.
He had a rough first half, though. A lot of turnovers from him again. That's kind of to be expected, though, I think. In a game like that, it's going to be hard to really keep hold of the ball. But see what happens when we cut that out. That first half was sloppy, and second half, though, lock it down defensively. Not losing the ball as much. It's weird how those things translate to really strong performances.
My biggest takeaway of the off-the-court thing was Brett ringing the bell video. Not Brett ringing the bell, but him going up to Mike Muscala and calling him Michael.
Yeah. It's more of a Mikey. He's more of a Mikey than anything to me. Yeah. He's not even like a Mike.
Yeah.
Muscala, another big block. Say what you will about Muscala, and I think he's inconsistent, but again, I think that just comes down to him having to play more than he really should be. He comes up with like just these timely defensive plays that I don't know.
He has some big offensive performances, too, every now and then that are very useful. You know, if you see Muscala scoring 17 points and the rest of the Sixers are on, we're normally winning that game. I did like that gesture, though, Embiid being like, ring the bell, coach.
Ring the bell.
Ring the bell, coach. And Brett was like, nah.
Brett was like, hell no.
Go ahead.
Joel very hyped too at the end. Very hyped to have won that game.
As they should be.
Yeah, well, he also went out to dinner with Steph. So I'm sure it had a little extra edge to it. He's recruiting Steph in a few years to come in the Philly.
Adam Silver, this is not tampering. We're not trying to tamper with the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, like he cares about tampering. Adam Silver doesn't care about our organization. He's just happy he got his crony Colangelo boys in here. Absolute lizard.
But they get the Kings tonight to wrap up this road trip so we can finally watch normal timed Sixers games again. Should be a win. I mean, the Kings are playing well, but I think
as long as you limit De'Aaron Fox, you know, we win this game. That's the big thing.
I think with the Kings, though, they're going to get a lot of their sort of. This could be an interesting game because the Kings are in this position of taking on potentially bad contracts and might be moving some players. So you might see some guys that get a little more burn tonight to just put them on that that spotlight for the trade block. I want to go back to the Golden State thing because Jimmy Butler, not a great performance. Mm-mm. And, you know, we start talking about, I think like right now we're all thinking about the next few months of the Sixers. We're thinking trade deadline, we're thinking buyouts, and then we're thinking this summer what happens.
Yeah.
And all of those things are sort of interconnected. If Jimmy's going to turn in performances like that, a five-year max is so far off the table that I don't know that we're even in the same room as Jimmy Butler. that was – I mean, I don't want to pin that all on him, but said it when we traded for him that the thought of paying 34-year-old Jimmy Butler $30-odd million gave me night sweats, and it still does. And
there are certain people who are acting like it's the end of the world on Sixers Twitter. I don't think it's no cause for that big of concern, but I definitely agree, though. I agree with the fact of, you know, not paying him that kind of money if he's going to be performing like that. I completely agree with that.
I think the moment he signs that contract, it's one of the 10 worst contracts in the league, personally. Because we just know that athletic wings do not age well. No NBA player in history has aged well. Like, even LeBron has slowed down even a little bit. He's, very much the exception and not the rule. He's an athletic freak. Jimmy Butler has injury history. He's had a lot of minutes on him. He's someone that, again, his game is not going to age that gracefully. Like, he depends a lot on athleticism. You've already seen him regress these past two seasons. Like, that is maybe a decent contract, even though I still don't think he's worth max. I don't think he's worth max money right now. I certainly don't think he's going to be worth it next year. And then you're talking about four more years. Look at Chris Paul and the Rockets right now. Mm-hmm. Tell me if that's worth it. It's not. That would just literally drain us of every potential move of adding either another max guy or decent depth for maybe 1 year of good Jimmy Butler.
Well, this is the thing though, like especially if we, when we don't give him that contract, it still shows that, you know, if you're a free agent coming this summer, if you're a bigger name free agent, look at what we can give you. You know, look at the potential that this team has, just like kind of what we said last year, trying to bring LeBron in, but now it's a little more real because you do see it, especially if we make a little bit of a playoff run. And you know, that's why I have no problems if we don't re-sign him, because you know there are people in free agency that may have second thoughts and just be like,
Who are we realistic? This is the other issue though.
It's not Kevin Durant. We're not getting Kevin Durant.
We're not getting Kyrie. Right, Klay Thompson is not leaving Golden State.
Bring up the list.
Tobias Harris. I don't think we get him because I think someone will pay over the odds for him and we won't. Those are like the big guys this summer.
I wouldn't mind having Tobias Harris.
I wouldn't mind him either, but we're not getting him. Someone's going to pay him way more. When the Knicks strike out on Durant and Kyrie, they're going to... DeMarcus Cousins is a free agent, but we're not signing him.
Let me ask you this question then. Like, I know we've talked about it before, but does it look more likely than that we look to trade Jimmy Butler?
I don't think we trade him just because I think we need him right now. And I think that's also, if you're talking like player relationships, it's probably not a great idea to move him so swiftly. You're seeing the Celtics getting their comeuppance, allegedly at least, that Anthony Davis's dad doesn't want to go into Boston because of how Isaiah Thomas is treated.
Yeah.
You know, like these things, they don't matter always significantly. That's a good point. Treating your players right and you know, at least treating them like human beings and not just solely assets, something that Hinkie was accused of, yet, you know, again, was driving dudes to airports and had great relationships with other players and still talks to
them. Was at the Golden State game.
Was at the Golden State game, cheering them on, like, okay.
It's another reason why we won.
Yeah, Hinkie bless us. I heard Kendall Jenner was there.
Oh, that's another reason why we won.
I don't know if this is true, but I heard we're like 13-2 or 12-2 when Kendall Jenner is
12-2 now.
Hey, so funny how
Kendall Jenner, welcome
tables.
To the resistance. You're welcome anytime.
So then, let me ask you about this because then we're in quite a conundrum, then, right? Because if we re-sign him to that max, then we're kind of screwed.
We're not kind of screwed. We are screwed. It's not so like then, a kind of maybe.
And with,
no,
the,
we,
with the free agent market, then what do we do if we let him go?
I think we either take a big swing at one of the big guys and try and get him to come here, or we fill out the bench with like $10 to $15 million guys. And then what you have there is guys that are valuable trade assets like you had with Covington and Sarge that maybe you could package in the future for when inevitably another franchise player wants out of their city next year. We didn't even get to the Kristaps Porzingis trade today.
Yeah, we haven't talked about that yet.
I have the list of the like top 20 free agents too we can get to. But yeah, that Porzingis trade was insane.
Yeah, well, we got Kawhi, Kemba Walker.
Kevin Durant, Kawhi, Kyrie, Jimmy Butler, Klay Thompson, Kemba Walker. Porzingis is restricted, but he said he's signing the offer sheet already. Mm-hmm. Boogie, Tobias Harris, Chris Middleton, Mirotic, Al Horford has a player option. Gasol has a player option.
So does Middleton. Middleton has a...
Yeah, Vucevic, Julius Randle, Dragic, Eric Bledsoe, DeAndre Jordan... Terry Rozier is a restricted free agent, and D'Lo is a restricted free agent.
Well, D'Lo is going to get re-signed. They're going to give him the bank. Go back up. Terry Rozier, if Kyrie leaves, they're going to
re-sign. Throw money at him.
You want us to get Terry Rozier?
No. I'm just saying. Plus, yeah, he's no. Al Horford's old. Not really high on Mirotic. Middleton hasn't said anything about the player option yet, right? Or the Bucks haven't said anything. Yeah.
Middleton's going to opt
right?
out and get a big long
deal. He's gonna
and the Bucks are going to throw money at him.
Chris Middleton is essentially like the runner up for who doesn't get Kevin Durant.
So then I would take Chris Middleton.
We're not going to get Chris Middleton though. Bucks are going to throw stupid money at him. They have to. That's why they cleared Dellavedova. That's why they did the whole trade with John Henson to get more like I'm just saying like we're in kind of a weird situation where Jimmy very clearly giving him even a 4-year deal is just not great. And someone's going to throw money at him this summer, I'm sure of it. And I don't know. I honestly don't know. Unless I forget to, if they sign JJ this summer. And he's going to have our balls in a vice because he is still our best offensive player. And as good as Landry has been, like losing JJ would be worse. And Brooklyn's going to have a ton of money. We know that that's been a destination for him that he's been interested in. We just have to hope that because we've overpaid him these past 2 years that he's willing to stay here and you know take a little bit of a pay cut. But I don't know. It's going to be weird summer. You know, with the trade deadline now too, we have rumors and who knows what happens with Fultz. I don't know. It's a weird time for our roster. And it would have been nice if we had, you know, not Brian Colangelo as our GM. That would have probably helped us significantly.
How about this Kristaps trade, though?
It's the Knicks going all in on getting Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, and I can't wait for it to blow up in their face.
Mm-hmm.
Using your franchise player to clear salary. What a time.
It's just...
Hey, man. It's honestly really funny because he said when he was going into draft workouts, he didn't want to work out for the Sixers because he didn't want a losing culture. And he went to the Knicks. Like, the epitome of losing culture right now. And it's just...
But hey, that trade helps the Sixers because DeAndre Jordan and Wesley Matthews go to the Knicks and they're more than likely going to get bought out.
Which is great for us. Wes Matthews especially on a buyout would be fantastic. DeAndre Jordan, no. I think he'll probably go to somewhere where he's going to get more guaranteed time.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd have to think that they're both definite buyout candidates. Because New York, we know what their objective is. They're going to try and get Zion this summer.
Mm-hmm.
You've already
seen like the hashtags and everything on Twitter.
Yeah, it's just super ballsy by the Knicks. And I know it's been said, like, we're maybe a day late to this, but, like, they have to have had some kind of wink and nod from Durant and Kyrie or someone to do this, like, just...
Yeah.
And even then, like, you're counting on Durant and Kyrie to... For, What are Durant and Kyrie going to bring you? Let's say they get Zion, too.
A lot of...
That trio is still... I don't know that that's good enough to even get you out of the East. Like, Toronto very may keep Kawhi this summer. And we... And everyone... Like, national media members are saying they're really in the hunt for AD right now, too.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying they'll have AD for the whole season. They'll have him for the playoffs, and then from the future, who knows, if they trade for him. That's... I don't know. That's, like, one of the best teams in the league already right there. That might be the best team in the league, because the Warriors will be without Durant.
Possibly without Boogie.
Boogie definitely can't stay in Golden State. Boogie will go somewhere. I think Boogie's, as long as he stays healthy, is going to probably be a max guy this summer, if we're being honest. I don't know what the Knicks' plan is. I get that they're swinging for it, and I guess respect for that, but dude, like, I don't blame Knicks fans that are saying that they're done with this team, because that's just, like, I don't think I could still, like, root for a team that just tears down like that. There's a difference between rebuilding and just, like, trying to get assets and trying, like, it's another thing for a guy that has absolutely zero leverage come July. He's a restricted free agent that's coming off a torn ACL on a guy he's barely played in his career. Like, no one talks about the fact that Kristaps Porzingis is, like, the glass bones guy from SpongeBob. Like, he doesn't play that much. If he was in, like, Milwaukee or something, like, people would not talk about him. Like, he should be thankful that he was in New York because he gets so much buzz. Because he has, you know, three or four good months every now and then, and everyone hypes him up. Like, if he was in a smaller market, that's no one true. Would... People would talk about how Kristaps is just strictly injury-prone. But, you know, he's the unicorn because he played in New York.
He's a unicorn because you never see him on the court.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I think it's... It's weird, man, and it makes our division all the more interesting, though, because if they do swing and connect with Durant and Kyrie, that's another contender now. You'd say pretty much everyone in our division at that point would be playoff teams. Honestly, you know, between us, Brooklyn, Toronto, Boston, Knicks with KD and Kyrie, even if they just get, you know, Tobias Harris and DeMarcus Cousins, or maybe they sway Chris Middleton or Kemba, like, that's still a team that could push for the playoffs. I don't know. It's interesting, and for Dallas, makes a ton of sense. You now have Doncic and Porzingis, very bright duo. I don't know.
I'm excited to see how that works out.
Yeah, I think everyone is, but it's just a it's weird, man, because we were talking, you know, potential AD trades. We were talking about Porzingis potentially being used to get Anthony Davis, and instead it's for Dennis Smith Jr. and bad contracts.
I think we were texting about it, and then literally like 5 minutes after we had that conversation, I think in our group chat, right? We were talking about it.
Well, yeah, Woj tweeted something, and then 20 minutes later, the deal's done.
Which makes it even more suspicious, because you're telling me he just happened to have a meeting where he doesn't even, by the way, if you look at the tweet, he doesn't request a trade. He doesn't request that he's traded. He just says he has concerns, and they got the impression that he would like to be moved.
And then the Knicks just trade him.
40 minutes later, there's a full trade done, and they're making the call to the league office. I don't know, man. Like, that's the other fishy part about this. You know, maybe the Knicks fluffed that up a little bit and said that they had that meeting, and
don't disrespect our organization.
He posted his Instagram story saying that the truth will come out soon. I know Knicks fans were pissed. I think rightfully so, because it's like he'd been on like a Twitter hiatus, and his first tweet back is him like clapping up. Like, I would be pissed about that as well. Like,
yo, deadass, B, don't disrespect us. You disrespect our organization. We trade you.
I felt the best Facts. Tweet following the trade.
That was really good, Dom.
The best tweet following the trade was a friend of the show, Ethan Levy from Gotham Sports Network, tweeted that Porzingis went from deadass B to howdy partner in a matter of 20 minutes.
Yeah.
That's funny. That's funny.
So can we talk about Fultz, too?
How he's apparently on the trade block again?
Launching him into the sun?
Yeah. Yeah. What more is there? We talked about him on Wednesday. The same thing we're going to say now is what we said on Wednesday.
No, because I'm seeing people that say we should hang on to him. And
no.
Here's the...
No.
Okay, Don. Pretend like you've been in this boat the whole time.
I've been in the boat. You guys... killed me on Wednesday about it, but like I still said, right, you still need to trade.
That aside, there's still a healthy and overwhelming amount of people that seem to think Fultz can turn the corner. It's not happening here, for sure.
Yeah.
I can tell you that with 100% certainty.
We said that.
Fultz right now, at best, is going to be a rotational option. You should not be paying a rotational option that, by the way, has not played this year outside of a handful of games and only played a handful of games last year. We're paying this dude first overall pick money. He's going to pay $10 million next year, which is going to really inhibit what we can do this summer. There's, like, the concept of, like, that Fultz could turn into something and he could get back to that level, which I don't think could even happen. But I think when you're talking about, like, assets, you need to abide by the burden the hand is worth. A burden the hand is worth more than two in the bush. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, maybe Fultz does become even an iota of what we saw of him from Washington. But that's not guaranteed. And I would say it's more than likely not going to happen. I'd say his ceiling right now is maybe a rotational player. But this dude could be out of the league in 2 years. Like, that's on the table right now. He has not played. Mm-hmm. Like, we talked about Joel Embiid being injury prone. This dude, like, we don't even know what the injury is, really. There's debate if he's actually injured. I think you can't keep this dude around. Right now, get him, like, trade him for someone, trade him to a team like Atlanta, maybe even someone, like, call up someone like Dallas, who, call up's got teams that are willing to buy right now that, you know, their timeline is maybe a little bit longer, or they're looking for a guard of the future. Maybe they have the ability to rehab him and take some time with him, a new location, a new city, and try and get a piece that can at least help us compete now that's, you know, on a decent contract. At this point, man, like, I don't know how anyone can defend keeping Fultz, because it just logically makes no sense. You're paying a guy that does not play a good amount of money that can stop us from signing a potential max player this summer adding a really actual valuable bench piece.
You just got to believe.
Listen, I bought in for, like, a little bit over the summer. I was like, you know what? Like, maybe he is turning a corner. He didn't.
Yeah.
He had his chance. I'm sorry, dude. Like, he's getting paid a ton of money. He apparently put his work in over the summer, and this was supposed to be the year that he made the comeback. We heard all summer about how he worked on his shot, and he was going to come back, and you're going to see, man, he's just James Harden. He's going to be like James Harden with better defense. Nothing. Yeah, like, nothing. Thoracic, I would take Pat Connaughton over Markel Fultz right now.
Thoracic outlet syndrome.
I just think it's over for him, man, and I think defending him at this point is just, I don't know what you're doing. I really don't, because he's just such a negative on this team, and we need someone who can help us just compete now and the next year and going forward, because I don't think he's ever going to be anything. He's not even first-round value right now. Landry Shamet is what we thought Markel Fultz was going to be. Someone who can handle the ball a little bit, play off ball, shoot very well, and he's starting to play good defense.
But he can't rebound.
Hit a great block.
I'm kidding.
Hit an insane transition block, and then went the other end and hit a three. What?
Yeah.
That's what Markel Fultz was supposed to do. I don't know. I'm over it, is really my...
I've been over it. I'm just tired of seeing him on the sideline with his blinged out number 20 chain. Just get what you can for him and just get him out of here. Clear that $10 million and call it a Sixers career with Markel Fultz.
Yeah, I think at this point, hopefully trade deadline coming up this week, we see him moved. I don't know. Yeah, the part that's worrying too is we're going to have to trust our front office to make competent decisions. I'm not sure that I am ready to do that just yet, but we'll see. Time will tell. Let's beat the Kings tonight. Let's keep it rolling. We play Toronto this week. We can... The second seed is up for grabs, man. Like, we're only 2.5 back at Toronto, who haven't been playing super amazing lately. Kawhi's been, like, on and off injured with his quad, you know, issues that he's been having.
His quad?
Very nice. I actually haven't heard
of
that.
Hey!
So, yeah, you know, we'll, I mean, look, it's there for us. Like, I don't think the second seed is off the table right now. Certainly, I think the third seed, you'd say, is ours to lose at this point, just because we have a decent advantage over Boston. We play them in this next week as well, so an opportunity for us to move up the ranks in the East, which is nice. So let's do it, man. Let's beat the Kings tonight. Let's keep this run going. We're playing very well against very good teams. Golden State, that's one of the best wins we've had in a while.
In the Brett era.
That's probably our best win this season. Again, just given the context of how good Golden State was playing. I mean, people were talking about this going on another, like, you know, 20-game win streak for them, and it looked like they very well could. And you watch them in that first quarter, I thought, you know, Jesus.
But, hey, you know, the team that shares a home with the Sixers, are they good? The Flyers? Six in a row now?
Hey, they're going to make it seven.
They could. They very well could.
They're going to make it
seven.
They
play Edmonton today, but they've been playing really good hockey.
That's a tough game. It's a real tough game.
And it's a sort of rivalry game in a sense, too, because Connor McDavid doesn't like the Flyers at all. And now the guy that broke his collarbone is part of his team, too, which I think is hilarious. But, I mean, they're playing really good hockey. Carter Hart named the Rookie of the Month for January and throwing it back to the Sixers, too. Embiid was named Player of the Month for January in the East. So a lot of awards going around with our teams. But, again, we talked about this on Wednesday, everybody thinking Carter Hart wasn't ready. The kid's too damn good. And
he was wasn't he Rookie of the Month?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's playing today, so hopefully that equates to another win. And how do you guys feel about the Stadium Series jerseys?
Because
there's
I think they're
awesome.
I like them. Some people are calling them ugly, but I think they're
amazing.
Cool. Yeah, I like them.
And they look way better than the Penguins ones. But I like
every Flyers jersey looks better than the Penguins jersey.
But yeah, the Stadium Series jerseys, they went on sale today, actually. So
I don't think they're better than the black ones that they had, but they're still pretty good.
Yeah, I think they look really, really good. I hope they wear black pants with them, though.
That would be sick.
That would be really cool. That way they don't look like orange highlighters on the ice.
I'd like the monochromatic kind of look, though. The all orange would look kind of cool, looking like some traffic cones out there. But I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
Excited for that.
Flyers are good again, I guess, for now.
Yeah, when I saw them beat the Bruins again, I was like, oh, this is legit now.
They're 9 points out of a playoff spot.
And weren't we, like, dead last
a
month ago?
Dead last in the league, like you said, like a month ago, so. Hey. Playoffs are in our grasp right now.
We said that last year, too.
But talking about the still defending Super Bowl champions, Howie Roseman's a wizard, still, to this day. I don't know if you guys saw, he restructured Rodney McLeod's contract the other day. And
no, I did not
cut $7.5 million in cap space by restructuring it. So Rodney's contract goes from $9.9 million cap hit to now he's only making a $1.5 million base salary next season. Saves us, like, is it like $7.75 million in cap space now? So that opens up a huge amount of money for us to go out and spend. And Rodney's going to get that money back.
Yeah.
In incentives or...
This is the part of the Eagles offseason that I always like seeing is what Howie does. Last year, seeing what he did with the restructuring of contracts, and he's doing it again this year. I didn't see that. I didn't see news of it.
And
so
the other
telling me this
interesting
is
part, I'm going to pull it up. But the other part of it is that they cut off the 2020 year of the contract. So Rodney's under contract for 1 year now instead of two, and he becomes a free agent after next season rather than after 2020. But the full details of the contract are right here. And this is from BleedingGreenNation.com. So they restructured it so that it pays him $3 million for the base salary in 2019, and $1 million more if he plays all 16 games. And everybody knows he's coming off the knee surgery, so he was supposed to be making $7.5 million this year on a deal through 2020. The last year the deal was cut off, so he's a free agent now after 2019.
Not bad.
Isn't this just Howie's wheelhouse, man? Just renegotiating and just manipulating the cap to create a little bit more room.
Especially with all the free agents the Eagles have now. Now you can kind of begin to figure out, okay, which guys are we going to bring back? Who are we going to sign in free agency? And we talked about on Wednesday, they bring Paul Warlow back. So now is Jordan Hicks a priority? Or can you kind of let him go? Do you worry about getting a safety in the draft now that Rodney is only under contract for one more year rather than two? And now you don't really have to worry about Avante Maddox playing safety. He can just go to be playing as one of your starting corners, and that makes his life a whole lot easier, and yeah, so Howie just continues to wheel and deal and make things happen for this team. But today is the final full day, unfortunately, of the Eagles being defending Super Bowl champions, as the Super Bowl is tomorrow. It's been a fun ride. It's the reason we started this whole thing, so...
Are you all right?
We're not going to be Super Bowl champions anymore. Sorry.
I've never heard you make that noise. Any of those noises. And I've known you for over a decade.
There's a first for everything.
Make that the last.
But yeah, so final full day of the Eagles being Super Bowl champions. We talked about the prop bets last week, but I think all of them are finalized now for the Super Bowl tomorrow. And then we also talked about last week, or on Wednesday actually, after the show, how there was that tweet with your Super Bowl kind of like food layout. So I figured we'd bring that back up. So you have a Super Bowl party, and you have 15 points to spend. You get chips and dip unlimited for 3 points, onion rings unlimited for 3 points, mozzarella sticks unlimited or 3 points, loaded nachos unlimited for 5 points, a dozen wings for 7 points, a foot-long sub for 8 points, and a large pizza for 12 points. Now, one twist I saw on this, too, is a lot of people saying they would just double down and get 2 dozen wings and use just 14 of the 15 points on wings rather than spreading it out, which I didn't even think of as a concept, but
yeah, but then like you only have, you show up to a party and there's only wings.
Yeah,
like there's got to be some options. Like I don't want to eat wing, like don't get me wrong, like wings I think are like the quintessential thing if you're having a football like viewing party. However, like there's got to be other options, because I'm not gonna want to eat wings all night.
Agreed.
I want to switch it up a little bit, you know. Get yourself some wings, get yourself some onion rings, get yourself some nachos. You're good, you know.
I think it's all about options at a at any sort of event or party. Like you don't want to just have. Just think of like even outside the Super Bowl, if you just show up to anything, it's just you go to a party. There's just one beer or one type of liquor.
I was just gonna
or
say that.
Just like, and then you like order food and it's like we just got pizza. Like, I don't know, like.
Yeah, you show up to a party.
Give the people some options.
You show up to a party and they're like, "Hey, you know, we got a keg of Natty Light and 3 large pizzas. They're all pepperoni."
You got to order at least one plain. You know, you can't do like, a whole pepperoni. Like, that's just
even if you're just having pizza, you need to have options. You have options of pizza.
Yeah, yeah. I think my ideal Super Bowl. I think onion rings are great. Agreed. Super, super underrated. I think it's just because they're kind of expensive, and usually when you get them at places, you only get like 5 or 6. But I mean, you show up to a place and they have onion rings. You like that's the first thing you're like. You turn to whoever you're with, like, bro, they got onion rings.
And it's unlimited too.
Because you go to places and they you've been to a place. Oh, they got wings, of course. Oh, they have pizza. The thing too is when you have the wings and you have the pizza. Then you have to endure the discussion of, oh, bro, you should have got him from XYZ place. Like, yeah. They have way better wings. Tony Soprano's is the best wings, bro. Why don't you get Pizza Queen? That's a discussion that, you know, you may not want to have to deal with.
Yeah.
Moz sticks are great, too.
Oh, did you see the tweet with the picture of, like, every state's most popular thing to bring
morning.
To a Super Bowl party. Who brings cake to a Super Bowl party? There's some weird
cake?
Things on there. Yeah, cake.
What kind of cake?
It just said cake for like 3 different states. And then like Maine was paella.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
It does, but like who brings it to a Super Bowl party?
Maine. Paella?
Yeah.
And then,
I would have felt like
pine nuts or something.
And then, like, all of the Atlantic Northeast, basically, like, so, like, New Jersey, I think, Pennsylvania, New York.
Tri-state area.
And Delaware, so the quad state area.
The Delaware Valley.
Buffalo chicken dip.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Buffalo chicken dip.
And then.
Pennsylvania was chicken wings.
Okay, chicken
we
wings.
We were buffalo chicken dip.
Wait. Massachusetts. Gluten-free pretzels.
Florida was cake.
The gluten-free
Rams
pretzels,
by 40.
Gluten-free pretzels, to be fair, more crunchy, I think.
There's one that's granola
better
bars.
Better snap. It's all about what you want in a pretzel. Better like, are you snap. A sourdough kind of guy, or are you like a pretzel rod kind of guy, you know? That's also, let's not get into that one. Cause, or are you like the pretzel stick guy, the really thin ones. You shove like four in and just kind of beaver them, you know? I think there's a lot of debate to be had about Super Bowl
there's
snacks.
Vegan cheesy bacon spinach dip.
How does that even make sense?
How is it vegan but bacon and?
Well, I guess it's just supposed to emulate
they
bacon.
Put liquid yeah. smoke.
Did
in
people
it, I
put
guess,
bacon
or?
In spinach artichoke dip? I've never heard of that.
I don't know.
That could be.
I think like bacon spinach artichoke dip.
I mean, I do. I love it. Bacon on anything is good though.
It's you know what? It has to be like the right thing. Like how to explain? Like spinach artichoke dip has to have like the right balance. Like too much, you get if you get too much of, like the spin and artichoke, it's like kind of like sour almost and too overbearing. You don't want it too creamy because then it's just like I'm just eating soup at this point.
I agree. I can agree with that.
It's a difficult one. It has to be done right.
But yeah, some of the official prop bets now too.
Okay, yeah, let's do this.
So the entertainment odds ones, obviously the biggest one's the national anthem.
How long will it take
Gladys Knight to sing the U.S. national anthem? The over-under is 1 minute 50 seconds from the moment she starts singing until the note Brave ends for the first time.
Over.
I agree. They don't have the odds, though, for it? Like, what's the over and what's
the
under?
Yeah, it's just an over-under. Will any member of the Pips join Gladys Knight for the national anthem? Yes is plus 300, 3-1 odds. No is minus 500.
I would not take that bet because it's definitely no. I'd have to put that in a parlay.
Yeah, you don't really bring out a guest for the national anthem.
Yeah.
Will Gladys Knight omit a word from the national anthem? Yes is plus 400. No is minus 700.
I think no.
There's a prop bet for her attire. During the national anthem, a dress and a skirt is minus 200. Pants and shorts is plus 150.
It's indoors. I mean, it's Atlanta. It's not
I'd take the pants
back. It's not exactly Minnesota last year, you know? Like,
hold on. Wait. No, you got to talk about those. Okay, will any scoring drive take less time than it takes Gladys Knight to sing the national anthem? Yes, plus 150. No, minus 200. Will Gladys Knight kneel during the national anthem?
No way.
Will any player kneel during the national anthem?
Definitely no Patriot.
Who will be shown first on TV during the singing of the national anthem, Tom Brady or Jared Goff?
Tom Brady.
And then there's a Bill Belichick, Sean McVay. It's definitely McVay.
I don't know, man. They love just getting Belichick's stone face.
Yeah.
Will the roof be open at the Mercedes-Benz stadium?
Yes. Because they have to do a flyover, right?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
You got to get that sick shot where they pan up the national anthem. Hell yeah, brother! There's an F-22 Raptor!
Oh, I like this one.
What color will Adam Levine's shoes be when he begins his halftime show performance?
There's a lot of choices,
This is all too hard for me.
It's the hard. There's a little cliff note that says the predominant color of the shoe, too. Will he be wearing a hat?
No.
Adam Levine's not a hat guy on
the over-under for how many songs they sing at halftime.
I would take under 4 songs. Because don't they have multiple performers at halftime?
Let's get into gameplay here. Let's get into game stuff.
Travis Scott and Big Boy from OutKast.
This can all be manipulated.
Will Bill Belichick be referred to as a genius?
Yes.
Collinsworth isn't calling the game, though, so I don't know. If it was Collinsworth, I'd like...
Tony Romo is, though.
He would say that about Brady, though.
With Jim Nance.
No, Jim Nance would be like, I'm just going to defer to you, Tony.
Will greatest of all time be mentioned in the broadcast?
100%.
Yes.
Ben Simmons. Will Belichick. Ben Simmons, by the way, tweeting again the puff out your cheeks emoji.
Nice.
I don't know. What would you call that emoji that he tweets? What do you call that?
Smoke out of the nose?
Like the emoji. Like, it's like more of a, just a... It's like an a... Like,
you could use that to be angry. You could use that to like... be proud of something. I don't know. It's a very ambiguous emoji.
I love Ben Simmons, dude.
Will greatest show on turf be said during the live broadcast?
Yeah. They'll definitely harken back to that.
That's a bet I would take.
Because they'll talk about... That'll come up in the conversation where they say with the Patriots and the Rams last time they met and be like, oh, yeah, like, you know, right around the era, the greatest show on you know.
How many times will Tom Brady's wife be shown on TV during the broadcast? Over or under 1.5?
Under.
Will the Rams-New Orleans pass interference call be shown during the game?
Yes.
During the game? During I don't think game. So.
Before the game, yes. During?
How often do they...
I don't know.
This is a good one. How many times will Tony Romo say, here we go.
Over.
Over 2.5 or under 2.5.
Well, actually, no, that depends on if it's a close game. Because in the Chiefs-Patriots game, he said that probably 8 times. Here but that was only because it was a really
What's
intense
Tiger
game.
What's that Tiger Woods bet?
Will he be mentioned during the live broadcast?
Am I missing something?
I guess because he's playing in the Masters.
Yeah. Isn't the Masters still like a bit away, though?
April?
Masters is normally around Easter time. Yeah. So, yeah.
That's a weird one. Can we get into gameplay? This is all...
Oh, there's the Gatorade bet, obviously. Yeah.
What color?
Clear/water is 5-2 odds. Yellow is 3-1. Blue is 4-1. Orange is 4-1. Red, 6-1. Green/lime is 7-1. Purple is 9-1.
Now, wait, what's the difference between green and lime and yellow? Because isn't yellow lemon lime? And
I would guess like that neon, like G2.
Okay, then I'd take the yellow bet.
See, Ike Reese brought up an interesting point,
put money
too.
Down on both.
The Gatorade that you think would want to be poured is the Gatorade that everyone on the team isn't a fan of because they're not going to drink it, and you want to get the most Gatorade on the coach. So you got to... I think that's something that's interesting to take into account.
Oh,
like,
then it's going
to
be either
How has no one brought up the potential for collusion on all these, though? Because, like, seriously, like, half of these prop bets, someone could just read them. Adam Levine could be like, hell yeah, I'm going to throw a hat on. I'm going to put 10 grand down.
Yeah.
Have my wife do it. Adam Levine has a wife, right? Yeah.
I think, yeah.
Yeah, he does. Sarah's going to be really upset.
Puppy Bowl, odds to win, Team Ruff or Team Fluff?
They have winners? I thought they just let the dogs just hang out. I didn't realize that was, like, an actual competition.
So the margin of victory, Rams by 1-6 points is 11-4 odds. Rams by 7-12 points is 6-1 odds. Rams by 13-18 points is 9-1 odds. And then the continuation is like 20-1, 40-1, 66-1, 100-1, and 125-1.
I think the 7-12 on who you will like is a pretty good bet because
Patriots are 4-1 in that instance.
I think this could be a shootout, and I think this could be a high scoring game. Last year, what, we won by 8?
Yeah.
Year before, the only reason it was by 6 is because it went to overtime.
Yep.
Do you think this game's going to go overtime? I don't know.
I don't think so. I mean, I kind of hope it does because then Buffalo Wild Wings is giving everybody in America free wings.
That'd be cool.
That'd be cool.
How much wings? Like, what's...
Probably they're small.
Yeah.
Or they're snack size.
Which will be the highest scoring quarter? First and third quarters are 17-4 odds.
I feel like the Patriots always have a really slow first quarter.
Yeah.
I'd take the third quarter.
Second quarter is 7-4 odds, and the fourth quarter is 9-5 odds.
I think I might go fourth on that. I think that's when the game really opens up. I mean, you look at the... Again, I don't want to get back to the Patriots-Chiefs game again, but that was a really close game. They scored, what, like 34 points in the fourth? And then over like...
This is a fun one. Whose age will be closer to the total points in the game? Belichick is minus 400. McVay is plus 250.
I think Belichick.
Total lead changes. The over-under is 2.
I don't think there'll be that many lead changes. I think at most 8th.
I think I would take the over.
I think that's a rough one.
Like a slight over. Total touchdowns over under 6.5.
I think I'd go under.
Longest touchdown yardage in the game over under is 50.
Is it really like that many deep threats on these teams? You could say maybe Brandon Cooks. But we had Alshon last year. Was that even a 50-yarder?
It might have been.
It's like right around.
Yeah, close.
Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback in the NFL.
Look how
he throws that ball.
Open it up in the Super Bowl like that, though. It's not really. I don't think it's.
Yeah, have you ever seen those videos on Twitter? The dude that does the voiceover of like the Tom Brady highlights, and he's like, "Here's Tom Brady, the best quarterback ever in the NFL. 10-yard pass, what a pass! Nobody in the NFL can do that but Tom Brady." He has horrible wide receivers. Look, Tom Brady thrown into a horrible wide receiver. Look at that. That's like negative 2 yards. Nobody can do that in the NFL. Tom Brady putting it right there. when he throws a bad pass, he throws it like behind him. He's like, oh, look at Tom Brady challenging his receiver to go and get that pass. Tom Brady, best quarterback in the NFL. Tom Brady's wonderful.
And then there's like over-unders for like all the individual stats for every single player.
Like the normal prop bets and stuff like that, yeah.
Let me see. There's like receiving props, rushing props, team to score first in the game. Rams are even at 1-1. Patriots are -120. And then will the team that scores first win the game? Yes is -200. No is +170.
Who scored last year? Patriots?
Let me see.
Can't even remember. It was all a blur to me, to be honest.
It was... The Eagles scored first. Jake Elliott kicked a field goal.
Ah, that's right.
And then the Patriots got a field goal. And then that touchdown from Foles to Alshon was 34 yards. So it wasn't even 50 yards.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
Yeah, that was the longest receiver touchdown, too.
I can't think of the last big bomb play that there was in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Yuck.
Now, I'm shocked there's not a prop bet for, will the Philly special get run?
I'm sure you could probably find it somewhere.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if on some site that's available.
And then there's the NBA cross sport props as well.
Yeah.
Steph Curry made three-pointers versus the Rams' Brandon Cooks receptions in the Super Bowl.
Huh. Those are always fun.
What will be higher? James Harden.
I'll take Steph.
James Harden's points against Utah the minus. Or Brady pass attempts in the Super Bowl. Same thing with Jared Goff as well. What will be higher? Kyrie Irving's points against Oklahoma City tomorrow. Or Rex Burkhead rushing yards. I'm definitely taking Kyrie.
That's probably the minus two. Half the parlay, though.
What will be higher? Westbrook's points, rebounds, and assists. Or CJ Anderson rushing yards.
So I'm guessing you add the points, the rebounds, and the assists together?
Yeah.
Do you think CJ gets burned? I don't know if I trust that just because...
He might, because I don't know if Gurley's 100%.
Thing is. He's had 2 weeks, though.
What will be higher, Knicks' win total in 2019 or Brady completions in the Super Bowl?
Brady completions.
Now wait.
Brady, like, how do... Knicks might scrape, like, 24, 25 wins. Like, I think Brady's probably right about there.
What will be higher, Tom Brady passing yards in the Super Bowl or Bryce Harper's next contract amount in millions?
Brady could go for 300 at least, and I mean
went for 505 last year.
Yeah, I think I'd go Bryce though, just because I think he'll get a big contract, and Brady might have a even if he's just in the 200s, mm-hmm. which would still be a pretty decent performance. I think Bryce is probably around the 300 mark.
What will be higher, Patriots total points in the Super Bowl or the total runs scored by the Red Sox in the 2018 World Series, which was 28?
I take the Patriots.
I don't even know what that one, to be honest.
And then there's like...
The cross sport ones are cool.
So this is why Tiger's going to get mentioned, because of the Masters. So it's what will be higher. Tiger Woods' first round score at the Masters or Gurley rushing yards in the Super Bowl. Gurley's even odds. Tiger's -140.
What's like par at the first round? I don't even know. Like what, like 70?
Under. It would be like 61 maybe.
Par?
No, 67.
First round of the Masters. 61 is not par.
Par is 72.
72. That one, I don't know.
I would take Gurley.
You think Brady's going to hit... Brady, Jesus. You think Tiger's going to hit par? I mean, even if he's a... He might hit like 76.
Yeah, but do you think Gurley's going to have under 90 rushing yards?
Yes. Gurley didn't play very well against New Orleans. I mean,
10 yards. He's been hurt.
I don't know.
But yeah, those are some interesting Super Bowl prop bets. Final little thing. The Bryce Harper rumors have reached ridiculous levels because This morning it came out, a Tampa Bay Times article, why Bryce Harper signing a one-year deal with the Rays makes sense.
Oh, I saw that. It doesn't. I didn't look at it.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, let's just pack it up. Let's just...
Also, other
news. We're done with MLB free agents.
Yeah. other news. Wilson Chandler out, what was it, 2 to 3 weeks?
Yeah, he is.
2 to 3 weeks with the hamstring injury.
He has a strain.
Or
a
strained quad, yeah.
Strained quad.
2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah, he's going to have a lot. We'll
miss him, but...
A lot of medicinal rehab, I'm sure.
Also, Wings got their first win last night.
Wings did get their first win last
night. Overtime.
It was insane.
Blaze Reardon with the
goal. Man of the people.
Yeah. And I was talking trash on him in the last time I was on the pod.
He's been on fire this year.
Yeah, he's playing well. Also, men's NCAA lacrosse kicked off last night with the Utah Utes starting their first year as a Division I NCAA program. They played Vermont, who just was coming off of their best year in program history. Yeah, they got destroyed. I wanted to see Utah win that game, but unfortunately that didn't happen. I was just watching the end of High Point and St. Bonaventure. St. Bonaventure's trash. They got shut out by High Point like 13 or 14 to nothing. So that's another that's a dress rehearsal for Duke on Wednesday for High Point. Maryland kicks off and oh, they already started. They had their game at 1 o'clock. A lot of the games started at 1, so hopefully my picks will come out correct for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Dom, you need to put some respect on Blaze Reardon's name. My man's got 10 goals, 9 assists, has a goal in, I believe, every game since he's come off of IR.
Yeah. Well,
put some respect.
Last week when we were at the game, he had 16 points. He was 8-8, so he's added 3 to that. So that's
good. He scored the game-tying goal and the game-winning goal last night. So he's been
game
on tying fire.
Goal. I thought we were up by one, and then Cody Jameson,
the lead that gave us the lead back.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay,
I should say. But yeah, they came away with a solid win last night. Kyle Matisse is a dog. 8 points last night.
Again, another good win.
Stud.
For that.
So the Wings are 1-6, and they play Colorado next Saturday.
Hopefully, we get that win too.
And they get that extra day of rest since it was a Friday game yesterday. So that's a positive for them to get some of the injured guys back. And shout out to the Wings too for the 1 day contract signing they did with Chloe from Team Impact. She has muscular dystrophy, so they signed her to a 1 day contract yesterday at Shoot Around. She was at the game last night, so a job well done there. And and the Rochester Nighthawks trolled the hell out of Dana last night too, because their hype video to get ready for the game was Hawks fly together, and it was just a full-on video of Dana's fiance Kyle Jackson.
That's funny.
Walking out of the tunnel and going onto the field. And the best part about it was she had no idea they tweeted it, because the Wings' response was from an intern.
That's funny.
So I showed her that, and she was dying. She's like, "Their social guy's not even here."
That's hilarious.
It was great.
That's really funny.
But yeah, I think that's gonna just about do it for this episode of Underground Sports Philadelphia. Shout out to our sponsors, Main Auto LLC, Hoffman Farms and Greenhouses, Ducharme's Pro Foot Security 21, Wainwright Bernhardt Funeral Home, and Paul J. Gillespie Incorporated. Our final Wall of Fame poll will go up today. It's the Eagles poll. And
we've got lacrosse in the top 10 on SportsCenter today.
Big facts.
Blaze Reardon, number 3. Let's go.
He's a boss.
I didn't realize SportsCenter still did that. Yeah. I've not watched SportsCenter in
a long time.
Let's go. They don't respect lacrosse on ESPN.
They've been putting a lot on there recently with the NLL. A lot of the teams have like tweeted it out that some of their goals have been getting on there.
That's
but,
sick.
like I said, our final Wall of Fame poll will go up today. It's the Eagles poll. And next Wednesday, we'll announce all of our inductees, because it's the day before us being a podcast for an entire year. So shout out to everybody that's listened. Make sure you subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, all that good stuff.
Go Terps.
Get us on the charts, and keep helping us grow. But this will do it for episode 103. So for Dom, Matt, I'm Kyle, and we are signing off. Peace.